Well, it was my sincere hope and desire that I would be finished at 11 o'clock. It's now 11:02. So this is really, really going to go quickly, I promise you. Because we have to get our moms to lunch before the crowd gets there. And you know the Baptist preachers are all going to be preaching long sermons today because they got a lot of making up to their mothers to do. They've been telling them they need to get saved every Sunday now for years. Just kidding. Well, Exodus. Listen, Happy Mother's Day. I know everybody said Happy Mother's Day. There are two mothers that are not in here, my wife and Meredith. Is anybody that's not a mother, a young person, somebody, an older person, would somebody go fill in for them for just a few minutes? Okay. Anybody else would go take one of the slots? You would? Okay. Because today's Mother's Day, we'll just give it just a minute. This is really going to be a short message. I just want to honor the mothers today. I really do. In fact, when I was sitting there, before I read the gospel, I had completely forgotten about reading the gospel. I was thinking about all those days at St. David's. And it was like every Mother's Day, for some reason, every single Mother's Day, I was in the nursery changing baby's diapers. So I saw Lindsay look at me like, don't say you changed my diaper. Okay, I won't say that. Okay, I won't say that. Anyway, I don't know if I did or not. I probably did not, but she just looked at me like, oh, don't say that, because I could have. But anyway, today is Mother's Day, and, I thought it would be most important for us to take a day and really honor our mothers and honor those of you who give so much in the service to our families and to our faith, to the faith community, and all that sort of thing. I'm so happy and blessed that my mom is still with us. I know many of your mothers have passed on, and today it might be a hard day for you. It might be especially difficult, but let me reassure you that your mother is around the throne today praying for you. She's cheering you on. And I'm going to highlight that in just a minute. But again, I'm going to go quickly because we have to get to lunch. We need to take our mothers to lunch because they certainly need to be the first in line. Exodus chapter 20. Exodus chapter 20, verse 12 says this. The Old Testament says it this way. Honor your father and mother that you may live long in the land the Lord God is giving you. Now, today the word came out that this is our land. Now, we know our land is over on St. John's Bluff, but at least today it is. But wherever that is, when we honor our father and our mother, and especially our mother on this day, we may live long in this land that God is giving us. It's the only command we know that comes with promise. We should honor our mothers every day, but this is the official day because we honor them for the work that they do, and we want to recognize them for changing our diapers and wiping our noses and kissing our skinned knees and being in the front row of our games and going to all the ballet lessons and all the soccer games and watching us go out on our first date and celebrating us on our wedding day and maybe even watching us having children of our own. Now, the Bible is full of references honoring mothers, full of them. And let me say that, I want to say that the church for so long, I think, has kind of missed the whole idea of women and God. I think we have taken these submit verses and, and kind of made women almost second-class citizens. Almost. Not really, but not intentionally, I don't think, but just maybe through action. And I think it's important to recognize that one of the first commandment that God gave, first, the first four were all about Him, how we got to love Him, okay? The last six are all how we interact with one another. And the first one is honor your father and mother. That's it. First one. Now, not honor your father over your mother. So don't do that. We just honor our mothers and our fathers. And if it was important for God to say that, right from the start, He wanted to make sure that Christians, that those that believers, that Old Testament believers, could understand that He created us equally. He gave us different roles, but He created us equally. Now, in today's society, it's kind of the whole women can have it all kind of thing. I'm a little off my notes, I got to go fast. But there is an idea, and actually there are really some women, some great examples. I think of somebody like Nikki Haley, a governor, South Carolina. There are women that are executives. I think, who's the gal that runs Yahoo? I think she runs Yahoo, and she just had a baby recently, and it was a big, big deal, and Business Week and the magazines that, you know, she's having a baby, she's got to step away, but she's going to run the company. You know, I'm thinking, but these gals, they're not angry people. You know, you see a lot of women in the kind of the now movement that are like angry about everything. They're angry. But real Christian women, as it was pointed out, have this resource, have this strength, this supernatural strength that comes from God. Because I think most of us men, when we stop today and we consider our wives, the mothers of our children, we think about our mothers and what we put them through. No, seriously, I'm sure we all did. I was estranged from my family for a short time, a couple of years, because I was just mad. You know, I was mad about stuff, and I was going to be my own son and get out there and carve my way, and I don't need to listen to my mother, right? Some of us boys are that way. Well, yeah, wrong. Yeah, in the end, it kind of all comes back, and anyway, we got it right. So mothers today are, we look at what you do, and we want to say thank you. Thank you for the sacrifices that you make, the tremendous love that you show us. So honoring mother is being respectful. And what does it mean to honor? So it means to be respectful in word and action and having an inward attitude of esteem. It means, in the Greek word, it means to revere, to prize, to value. Honor is giving respect not only for merit but also for rank. When you're the mother of the house, you're kind of the boss in the house, right? The moms are the bosses. Moms run the household. We're going to read all about them in just a minute. The Old Testament word, and I'm going through this really fast, okay? Because I want to honor you. I want to honor the moms here. I want you to know how much we priests appreciate the work that happens here. Jesus appreciated women. In fact, it was Mary Magdalene that first discovered that Jesus had risen from the dead. She went to tell everybody, and they all said, "You're crazy." Right? That's pretty much most men's reaction to when women say, blah, 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 hysterically, blah, 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 blah. They're crazy. Okay, we'll go down and take a look, but you're crazy. Anyway, the Old Testament word is this word called kabod. It means, the original meaning, it means heavy or weighty. That's what the original word. So when the word honor is read, It's a word that has a lot of weight to it. It brings weight. We ascribe honor to Jesus. We ascribe honor to women, to our mothers today, almost in the same way that we ascribe this great weight that mothers have, is almost in the same way that we honor God. It's weighty. This is a weighty thing we do. And we say today that we honor you in that way because of your sacrifice and your character. That means in the Old Testament, to honor someone is to give them weight or to grant a person a position of respect and even authority in one's life. A person grants honor most frequently on the basis of position, status, wealth, but it can and it should be granted on the basis of character, right? Because there aren't any people in this room that have more character than the mothers that are in this room. Not anybody. Mothers keep us on the right path. They speak things to us. So even if you don't have children, you still are a mother in this church. No, you are, because you speak things into the life of the church. And the church is the body of Jesus. It's all interconnected. We get this role to dress up like women on Sundays, put on our pretty white dresses with these fancy schmancy clothes. But we don't honor you as we should on a daily basis. Now, today's your day. And tomorrow, and the next day. The lesson that we learned, that we read today, I'm just going to give you some New Testament examples, and then we'll wrap it up. The lesson that we read today from Acts is about Lydia. And Father Scott taught us about Lydia last week. Lydia was one of Paul's early converts, and she basically, she had inherited a business from her husband. She was very wealthy, and she financed Paul. Are you listening, ladies? She's the one that financed Paul. Now, let me tell you about Paul. You're not thinking like I'm thinking, because Paul's influence on Christianity is, other than Jesus, is at the top of the heap. Because without Paul, we may not have had the Gospels. They may have continued to be oral tradition. But Paul wrote letters to the churches, and then the churches copied them and sent them around to the other churches. And later on, now Paul's writings were the first writings. He was the first writer. The books that he wrote, the letters that he wrote, were penned about 10 to 15 years, as early as 10 to 15 years, before any of the Gospels, before Mark was written. And Mark was written early. So what I'm saying is, Paul's influence was powerful in the early church. Paul's influence was powerful because of Lydia. Okay? That's why he was so powerful. Paul had a thorn in the flesh, and a lot of scholars believe that thorn in the flesh was that he had some kind of speech impediment. He can write. Man, under the influence of the Holy Spirit, the guy can write. And he can explain God to us in ways that are fascinating. But it was because of Lydia that God used Lydia to launch the greatest writer ever. Ever. Okay? All right, so that was our lesson for today. Yeah, okay, let's see, my next one was Lydia. Next, got one more. Oh, then there's Priscilla. You all have heard of Priscilla and Aquila. Aquila is the male. That's her husband. Priscilla and Aquila are mentioned 6 times in the New Testament. And 3 times Aquila's name is first, and 3 times Priscilla's name is first. And that's a clear indication that in the times that they lived, women were considered property. Not slaves, but almost considered property. Kind of like Islam is today a little bit, that women are property. So similar to that. But in this case, she was considered an equal. That's why her name appears first three times. His name appears first three times. You see how Jesus takes women, and Paul takes the role of women and elevates them in the church. Priscilla, some scholars believe that Priscilla's role in ministry, my nose is running from praying for people earlier, and it hadn't stopped. But Priscilla's role was to, she went with Paul on all his missionary journey. She was one, you know, there were a lot of women who followed Jesus. And Priscilla and Aquila are considered one of the 70. They're considered two of the 70, of the 70 original disciples. But it was Priscilla and Aquila that traveled with Paul on his missionary journeys. Lydia sent them out, Priscilla and Paul. What I was going to tell you is there are a lot of scholars who think that because we don't know who Hebrews was written by, and the writing style is so different than Paul's. Some believe it's Paul, but a lot of people think it may have been Priscilla. It could have been Priscilla because she was with Paul, and it could be. So the role of women in the New Testament is incredibly powerful. In fact, John chapter 2, the first miracle that Jesus did, I love what his mother says. Actually, I love what he says and then what his mother tells him. they've run out of wine. So she comes to him and says, the guys come to his mother and say, hey, we've run out of wine. She says, okay. She comes to Jesus and says, they have no more wine. And this is what he says, dear woman, why do you involve me? Right? Typical male response, even it's your mother. Well, you're bugging me. Why are you bugging me? I'm at the wedding, you're bugging me. Right? That's what kids say to their moms. Boys say it. Even Jesus said it. He loved her. This wasn't a sin, okay? He's just like, why are you bothering me, Mom? I'm at the wedding. And then his mother says to the servants, do whatever he tells you, right? So he says, fill the water jars, he turns them into wine. I didn't read the part that I was going to talk to you about. Sorry. He said, no, Jesus says, why do you involve me? He says, my time has not yet come. That was what I want to tell you. My time has not yet come. And so what does his mother do? Do whatever he tells you, right? Because mom says, no, your time's come, now's the time. Because moms know. No, moms know when it's time to step out. Yeah, they do. She just said, okay, little Jesus bird, boom, out of the cage you go, out of the nest you go. No, now's the time, because your mama said. Heck, the Roman Catholic Church, they pray to Mary a lot. You know why? This is kind of why. You know, he might be busy. She's listening. If you need something done, ask her. She'll get it done. Right? Okay? Now, right. She's still got his ear. She's his mother. Okay? And he honors his mother. It's time to get started, Jesus. There are the heroes of faith in the New Testament, in Hebrews. The heroes of faith, the great heroes of the faith. Two are mentioned, Sarah and Rahab. Talk about a contrast. But it was through their line. It was through the line of Rahab that Jesus comes. So what is this trying to say? Is our mothers perfect? No. Mothers can be off the rails. But when faith is involved, I'm just saying Rahab was kind of off the rails, Scott. I'm just saying. I'm trying not to encourage our ladies to, you know, follow the tradition of Rahab. Please. I'm just saying. So what should we do? Our gospel lesson was really about prayer and Jesus praying for the believers. And there's not anyone that has a more tremendous prayer life than mothers. There's not. And let me tell you something. When your childs are, you know, drifting away, moms are talking to Jesus. They're talking to everybody, but they're really talking to Jesus. You know what I'm saying? Hey, you got my son. Right? That's right. No, I'm not kidding. I know it's a little funny, but there's not anybody who's going to grab the horns of the altar and shake them like women, like moms especially. I say women, but I mean moms, okay? I mean that. There's not, your kids are, get a splinter in the end of their finger, man. Rabara shandara buddha, pull that out. We're going to fix it. I'm going to doctor that right up for you. So what should we do? Listen, when we honor our moms, the same is true for, God blesses our homes when we respect our mothers with words, attitudes, and actions. He does. He really does. And so what should we do? We should love them unconditionally because we need to recognize that we all make mistakes and moms aren't perfect. And believe me, they know that. They look in the mirror every day a lot harder at it than we do, boys. We need to show them compassion and forgiveness because God knows we all need compassion and forgiveness. And we need to remember her gratefully on a regular basis. When, you know, we need to do that. The last thing I want to do is I want to read to you, and I know this sounds a little strange, but I want to read to you Proverbs 31 and kind of close it right here. And let me read it to you, and I'll make a couple of comments along the way. And then we'll be done, and I've gone a little too long. But this is called the Wife of Noble Character. Or the mom of noble character, okay? The mom of noble character, who can find? She is worth far more than rubies. Her husband has full confidence in her and lacks nothing of value. And that is really true. That is really true. When we honor our wives, we have full confidence that you'll do the very best. She brings him good, not harm, all the days of her life. She selects wool and flax and works eagerly with her hands. That means she goes clothes shopping with a credit card. She is like the merchant ships bringing her food from afar. She's always down at Whole Foods or Publix getting the best produce and the best meats ever for us to cook. She gets up while it's still dark and provides food for her family. So she gets up in the morning, she gets the kids dressed, then she makes them lunch, then she feeds them breakfast, and then she gets them out of the house to the bus stop. That's what while it's still dark, and she makes them breakfast and makes sure they have something good to eat. She considers a field and buys it out of her earnings. She plants a vineyard. So she's a real estate agent. Well, she buys a field and then plants a vineyard. So she works. She's working full time. A lot of times people have read this and says, "Oh, there's no women that measure up to this, right?" No, women measures up. Well, this is like the easy stuff, right? Your ladies are going, "Tell me something else. I've heard all of this. We do this every day." In her hand she holds the distaff and grapples with the spindle of her fingers. That means she makes yarn. She opens her arms to the poor and extends her hands to the needy. When it snows, she has no fear for the household, for she has been to the clothes store and gotten some nice jackets. She makes coverings for her bed. She's clothed in fine linens and purple. She expects the best, right? Moms expect the best. They don't compromise. Moms expect the best. And don't stop doing that. Expect the best. Moms expect the best from their husbands and from their children. They have high expectations. Her husband is respected at the city gate whenever he takes a seat among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them. She supplies the merchants with sashes. She is clothed with strength and dignity, and she can laugh at the days to come. She's got a sense of humor. And I know the ladies can laugh. Sometimes it's a little harder than others, but you can laugh at some of the things that happens, I'm sure. She watches over the affairs of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children arise and call her blessed. Her husband also and praises her. Praise you, honey. Many women do noble things, but you surpass them all. That means you. That means you. Charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Give her the reward she has earned, and her works bring her praise in the city gate. Let her works bring her praise in the city gates. Well, that's what I wanted to do, was honor the mothers. Would you please stand? And let's say, I want to say a special blessing for all our moms today and those women who have worked so hard. No, everybody can stand. Everybody can stand. I know. Trying to be correct. So, Father, if you're around a mom, put your hand on your mom. Let's bless our moms. Let's just bless our moms and love on them a little bit. So, Father, we lift our moms up today, Lord, and we honor them. We honor them because, Lord, they put you first. And, Lord, because they put you first, we follow their example. And our children follow their example. And so, Lord, we pray that you would bless them this year, that you would cause your favor to be in them. Lord, that good things would follow them and be in their hearts and in their lives. Lord, that you would bless their families. Lord, that you would call home those who have been gone for a while. Lord, that you would speak to them. Lord, for the moms who aren't here, who have gone on before, Lord, we know right now that they cheer us on, that there's not a better cheerleader in your camp than our mom. And Lord, we just pray that that you'd bless them. We pray, Lord, especially today, that you would, that all of us would bring honor and a special blessing to our moms and the moms that have gone on before. We pray in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Amen.